Thanks, Mike.
Our songs of worship speak very much what the Spirit of God is going to teach us this morning. If there's time after I pray, I'll see, let's try to share something out of the Word. No, I'm just kidding. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord. Thankful for all these guys coming out, Lord. They certainly are expressing a heart to know you more. Lord, a heart that wants to be completely given over to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this morning, as I share, Lord, your Spirit would teach, Lord. Touch our hearts, Lord, with what you would have us to know today, the things that would change our heart to be more like yours. Lord, that just through the testimonies of your word, we will be strengthened, Lord. Encouraged and become more like you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would have a better understanding what it is to want to give you our whole heart, Lord, and everything we do. So I just pray, Father, just for your Spirit to be poured out each one of these guys. Lord, just speak through me. Set my mind aside, Lord, things, Lord, that would distract or be unimportant, Lord. Just that we're just here from you completely today, Lord. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Bless these guys today, Lord. Lord, just bless them, keep them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
When I was at Shepherd School, primarily the second week, things started to come together a little more for me, I suppose. But he put Psalm 119 on my heart. I seem to remember the second week more than the first week as far as my dedication to set aside morning time. I mean, I was doing it every morning, but it was just something that, I guess, in a sense, had changed. And Psalm 119 became really important to me. And so that's why I picked it to share, because I feel like the Lord has put it on my heart. I know when I pray, there are times when I pray that I speak of the whole heart. And I just, that pops out to me a lot through this chapter. And the title for today, I chose Desiring an Undivided Heart. Because certainly if our heart's divided, we're not giving the Lord our whole heart. And I'm not going to be able to get through all of 119. The Lord showed me that pretty quickly. We're pretty much going to be stuck in the first verse and touch a little bit in the second verse because they really go together. And I'm just going to read them just to start out. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Just the start of this is really powerful in what it says and what the Lord would be having us to do. Maybe you already know, I know some of you seasoned ones anyway, you know that 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's broken up into 22 sections, and each section has 8 verses. And each one starts with the alphabet of the Hebrew language alphabet. And it's interesting that it said that sometimes the children learn the Hebrew alphabet by learning this psalm. That's kind of neat. And I've enjoyed this Bible that I have. It's a Hebrew-Greek Bible. It has in the back the relation to the different words and stuff. And so I use that to emphasize. So I suppose in a sense there's, it's kind of be like a word study of some of what it's saying in these two verses. And I'd like to start out by going to Job 5:17. And it says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not, thou chastening of the Almighty." And looking at the word blessed, there's the main definition of that is happy. So it's, you know, blessed. We're blessed in the Lord's correction and his chastening. And it seems kind of hard. We see that in Scripture, you know, just in our trials and tribulation, that we should rejoice in them. And one of the things that I think we find difficult sometimes is to actually pray for the breaking. You know, asking the Lord to break us, you know. And those can be tough times. But as we go through tough times, sometimes the hardest times, the Lord is doing the greatest work in us. And part of that is certainly on where our hearts through those times. The Lord sanctifies us, sets us apart. And that happens when we take part in that and follow his examples, submit to him, have a willing heart to let go and let God, so to speak. It's kind of a common phrase. Job, his name, it means hated or persecuted. And one of the first things that came to me when I was looking at these first two verses is blessed. And I really love the Beatitudes, going right through them. In Matthew 5, 10, 11, and 12, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute and say all manner of evil against you falsely, but for my sake." For my sake, for the Lord. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I just, these scriptures just come even more to life with what's going on in the world. I mean, we all know and see just how ugly it's getting. How they're coming against everything that's right and, you know, amplifying everything that's wrong. And you know that Isaiah spoke of that. And we see that stronger and stronger in these last days. You ever prayed for patience? I got to kind of experience that first thing this morning around trying to get here. And as I seem to get closer and closer to church, I think the Lord put an angel in front of me in this nice slow car just to kind of keep me at bay, you know. It's like, you're going to get there, you know. And so I was trying just to, okay, that's where I want to be, patient, you know, kind of just, it's funny how it just came to my mind thinking about it, you know, rather than getting frustrated, because that's where I first wanted to go, I think. And but that's also when I decided to call Dan and let him know I will be there, you know. So I apologize to you guys for being late. It's kind of crazy. I know that OCD is kind of a big thing. I'm sort of just the opposite of that. I'm kind of a messy guy, I guess. Organized in my own way, you know. And we serve a God who likes things in order, and I think he's just sometimes with me, he's like, David, you know. Because I seem to be able to find the stuff that I'm looking for most of the time, but even at work, I get so disorganized that I have to finally organize things. I can't stand it when I'm looking for a tool and I can't find it. That's a real good test of my patience, too. And then I drop it and I can't pick it up. It's like, So I need to remember that through these little things that I'd be tested. I mean, just some of the slightest little stuff can just really set me off. And it's just like, why is this happening? You know, it's just, I'm getting worse rather than better, it seems like sometimes, you know. But I'm going to try not to go off too much on some of that, but my experiences sometimes tell a good story. So back to 119 here. I can find it. Blessed, so happy for this instruction that the Lord, the chastening, the correction the Lord wants to bring in. Why? As we continue on, are the undefiled. We know there's only one who's perfect and undefiled, and that's Jesus. So he's wanting us to attain to that, that we would purpose in our heart to be undefiled, to seek the things above. And there's a couple of different words for that in Hebrew. The pronunciation is ta-min, which is used in this, but it comes from ta-man. And either word talks about completion. Ta-man speaks of the completeness of either good or bad. Completely good, completely bad. And in this verse, it's talking entirely undefiled. This is literally, figuratively, and morally. It's the divine standard of which we should seek to attain. And we know that's really going to only happen completely in the day of the Lord when we're in him and we will be like him. But it should be our heart wanting to seek that, wanting those things. And it's not easy, is it? I know being in the work world, those kind of challenges face us moment to moment. The neat thing is it's the standard God would have us to live for the perfection he created us to be. When we can live for that, purposing in our heart for that, what the Lord would have for us, he's designed our lives to be in glory with him. You know, like when Adam was first created, there was that perfect relationship between God and man. That's something we should want. You know, that's a part of wanting our whole heart to be like his, to understand that. I was enveloped by this, the idea of the whole heart, while it was there and was broken in the mornings before we would eat. Just loved that time before the Lord. Spoke to my heart about different things, current situations with my daughter. I asked God for forgiveness because I really feel like at least part of who she's become is certainly my fault as a parent, you know. But, you know, God's covering for that. And I'm not condemned for it, but certainly understand all the more why I need to walk the walk. You know, which brings us down to the next part of the verse, the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We want to walk in the way. the ways of the Lord, not the ways of the world. There's so many things in the world that can draw us away. And this word, way, derech in Hebrew, kind of goes along with the other word of like completely good or completely bad, but also where we walk. And I love Psalm 1. Joyce and I just love Psalm 1. Again, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way, it's the very same word that's used in 119 here, of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law. It's also this word. I know, sorry, am I doing something here? It's causing that. Sorry. Walk in the law, they delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Thank you for your worship, Mike. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The other side of that, walking in the way. The ungodly are not so. Like the chaff which the wind driveth away, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I love the way the Word of God comes together, no matter where you are. And it, you know, the Psalms particularly bless me. I mean, God has called me as a worship leader, the Psalms speak to my heart even more so. And the Lord does a wonderful thing in our time of worship and song. And it's especially blessed that he's given me a wife and brought us together, and that we are together in it with Christ. And it just, this wasn't really part of this, but it has blessed me so much, that threefold cord, that God brought us together, and he's in the midst of us, and we are tied to him, so to speak. Our relationship is what it is because of him. Joyce and I both know that just as we've gotten to know each other, and when we first knew each other and we talked about our lives and things like that, that we never would have come together, probably, in our previous life, so to speak, BC days. She would have had nothing to do with me, and I probably would have had nothing to do with her as well. And it's interesting, the healing that took place after I was saved and the things that she was going through and kind of a dead relationship, and the Lord allowed me to serve him in another kind of dead relationship, and brought us together in his timing. Everything is God's timing, you know. We can plan and plot and do these different things, and even, you know, the study, trying to put that together and stuff. It's in his timing of what he wants to say to us and when he wants things to happen or not to happen. And that's all part of having that whole heart, you know. And what's really needed today is discerning spirit. I've always loved reading A.W. Tozer, books and devotionals, and not as much as he has out there, but I currently am following a devotional that one of the ones that they read while I was at Shepherd School, and totally blessed by it. Here's a man, I think he died in 63 or something, but his writings are so pertinent to today, you know? And it's just, the one I'm reading is it's particularly directed for leadership, guys that are in leadership. And it's really convicting, you know, and I really enjoy it. It's helped along with the Word of God to open my eyes more, called me to a stronger desire for the Word. It's always been there. I love the teaching of Pastor Dan. And, thankful that the Lord has led us here, Joyce and myself. And can be so convicting sometimes, but I enjoy that. I don't know why I can say that and explain that. It's funny that you know, you would actually desire that, because it's not something when you're a little kid and you do something wrong on how you want to get caught doing that. You know, you try to avoid that, you know. But with the Lord, somehow there's something that you're thankful for it, you know. And now, much later in life, I'm thankful for the correction that I had as a child. We tend to still make the same mistakes sometimes. I mean, as you see that in the Bible, we're not any different than the people in the Bible. God has given us a book that is much for today as it was when it was written. Oh, another thing that was neat about Psalm 119 is we don't know who really wrote it. You know, there's some differences with the different commentaries and stuff. And a lot of the old commentators would probably point it to David, and I would probably tend to agree with that, but they also thought it could have been written during the times of Nehemiah and Ezra, but that it was written over a period of time and put together at a later time. And each section of those eight verses are individual enough, but just as important one to the other in that sense. And certainly they all point to God's Word. And a couple of these different titles that were given, one of them is The Greatness and Glory of God's Word as a title for Psalm 119. But I really like this one, The Meditations and Excellencies of God's Word. The excellencies of God's Word. I mean, I was just totally just like I've just been gifted with something. The excellencies of God's Word, you know it, you know. There's something to that. It just, I don't know, for me it just, you know, I don't know. The excellencies of God's Word. And it's so true, you know. I would encourage you guys to go through it, you know. As the Lord permits, I'm going to continue in it. Not right now, but just, I mean, as far as going through the whole thing, but. When we walk in the way, it's our very behavior. How do we behave? I mean, it's one thing when we're here at church. I think we all are, for the most part, on our best behavior, so to speak. I know for me, out in the work world, as much as I wouldn't want my behavior to change, it probably does. I've had some neat experiences. I think it's good when we don't necessarily know, so that God receives the glory and we can kind of just be there doing as he would have us to be, you know, for his glory. And I've had it happen a couple of times after the fact where whatever the Lord was doing and showing through me to guys and stuff, that they were blessed somehow with me, you know, that I received the respect unknowingly, in a sense. And the only thing I could attribute that to was because of God. Because I didn't see myself doing anything to earn that, especially from a couple of guys who I just didn't think liked me at all, you know. They were, you know. And I didn't necessarily not like them. I mean, most of the time I try to be friends with everybody. I'm Mr. Friendly. John Corson did some teaching something about that with the Ark of the Covenant and the two different guys, and the guy out front was Mr. Friendly, you know. And so I kind of am like that, you know. But I, like anybody, there can be certain people that can rub me the wrong way, which the Lord has seen fit to put somebody like that to work with. And I don't know why. I just struggle with this guy. I constantly have to put that before the Lord. And he gives me this heart of graciousness with the guy, of just to be so gracious with him and deal with him and not be upset and stuff. But there's just times and different things and the way he does things. You know, I mean, he's been doing it long enough that, you know, okay, that's the way he is, and I'm the way I am. I'm sure I kind of come across the wrong way sometimes myself, but how gracious has God been to us? You know, and because we have been forgiven, we have the ability to forgive now ourselves. We have the ability to extend that grace. So the Lord is working my heart, certainly, with this guy. And I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Lord. And he needs salvation. I get, you know, the neatest thing is, I think that comes a little later, but on our opportunities to share. The Word says we should always be ready to give an answer for the hope that was within us. And one of my troubles, maybe in my mind, Years ago, I was able to teach Sunday school for 4 and 5 year olds, and then there were 6 and 7 year olds. And, we did it for about 3 years, and then Becky came along, and we were out of it for about 3 years, and we stepped back in for, I think, about 3 years more. And then after that, it's like I was just away from almost anything for a while. I was leading worship a little bit for a while after that, but eventually I even stepped out of that. Dumb reasons, I suppose, but anyway, it was of the Lord. I just had to get my heart right. But teaching through the Old Testament of Moses and when he misrepresented God, when you see that in Scripture, that misrepresentation, doesn't it just kind of claw you in the heart a little bit? You know, you don't want to do that. You know, and so it's always been a concern of mine. You know, it's caused me to even shy away from like doing something like this, you know, leading worship, you know, anything where you have to step out for the Lord, sharing with somebody at work who may not know one thing or the other, but God knows, you know. So you would always want to be able to share the Word as it is. Not as you want to change it to be or think it might come across differently or not as convicting or something or not as nasty, I don't know, just on how people receive things sometimes. So I would just, you know, encourage that to be mindful that we need to reverence the Lord in everything we do. The behavior of men. Be sensitive about your actions, your very lifestyle. You need to have a heart in the pursuit of God. As we do that, allow His Spirit to really flow through us to walk in the Spirit. Just let Him do the work. You know, let Him make clear on your heart the things to share or say, or even how to respond to something. So in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. I could say something funny about that, but I'll let that go. I'll get there. I'm just going to start in verse 6 here. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe and the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. They certainly had the anointing of the Spirit, wouldn't you say? And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which is in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. You just love that? The good hand of the Lord upon you. And here's the verse I want to share. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. This word seek the law can be seen as study. So he studied the law and he started to do it, not just to know it, but to do it. We know that's a very important part of Scripture, you know. Not to be hearers only, but be doers. Really, nothing is really fulfilled probably in us and through us until we're actually doers. You can sit in a church and hear everything and know it so well, but if you're not doing anything with it, you're really incomplete. And you certainly don't have the whole heart that the Word would show us that we need to have. So that's a big part of it, being doers. And a lot of that is just your behavior before men, you know. I mean, that can be a lot of just walking the testimonies of the Lord, being able to share testimonies. You know, the more you know it, the more you have opportunity of different parts. Maybe there's an instance that happens that, boom, that goes off, and, you know, that light bulb going off, that, you know, there's a portion of Scripture that you know that correlates maybe to a certain situation, and you can share it and show the goodness of God. I think that's neat. I suppose I've been on and off with my Bible reading, or particularly studies. You know, and, I know it's an important part of being ready to have an answer, to walk in the way. And the word law here is Torah, which essentially means teaching. Walking in the teachings of God. He is patiently leading us by his word. Can you imagine? Oh, kind of kidding about my lack of organizational skills, I suppose, but just the patience that the Lord has with us. I think that goes along with long suffering. How are you at long suffering in a situation? You know, waiting for something, or you want something done, or you're hoping to get to a certain point, you know, financially, or, you know, whatever it might be. Specific job. You know, I've worked in my job for 45 years. Can you tell I'm tired of it? Lord, I'm tired of it, but I'm so thankful for it. I was like, oh, my double-minded heart of aggravation, but thankfulness. I don't know, it doesn't really go together, does it? But I'm thankful that I have it. It's been kind of a job that I've always had a job, no matter what's going on, because it's sort of demanding, even through the pandemic thing. My business was an important type of business. You know, a lot of them shut down, but if it had a certain criteria or whatever, it could keep going. Well, I was blessed with that opportunity. As much as I would have loved to have been home, the better thing was to be able to work and get paid. You know, but so I'm thankful for that. The Lord provided, no matter how I felt about it, he provided, you know, and brought blessing. We need to participate in these things, you know, as precepts. It's our part in the sanctification. To be set apart from the woes of this world. There's nothing that the world has to offer that would really benefit us. unless it's something that the Lord will want to give us for His glory, for His purposes. As we take on this whole heart and we tend to stand out and stand for Him, we are blessed in that and our circumstances. We can be happy in everything. Doesn't matter what it is, that blessedness covers everything in our lives. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And you know what? He gets glorified for that. He's the one that receives the glory. We're changed as we become more like Him. He's glorified. We should never look at the law as a set of rules or seeming like it's restricting. It's the very way that we can reach that spiritual ideal of undefiled. It's funny because I guess if we do go down that path, we become legalist. We don't really grow. We get stuck in that legalism. And the word doesn't actually do what it's supposed to. And we become judges, really, of things. And God's the only one that should be doing that. I mean, obviously we can encourage and edify and be used of the Lord to share with one another and things that are may not be biblical or take away from the Word, but not in a condemning way. You know, it's always in love. God does everything in His love. In Job 36:4, Psalm 19:7, the scripture is using the word perfect. And that's the same, very same word in the psalm here of undefiled. It's good that Jesus is our example, that we can see Him as the perfect, undefiled Lamb of God. It's inspiring to us to aspire towards that or for that. And as we walk with Him, we just see how much more we need Him. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. We'll finish up with that. Word keep is to guard, protect, obey, to be a watchman, to observe, to preserve. The idea of keeping the covenant. It's a responsibility the Lord has given us for our own good, but also that, again, we'd be used of Him. You know, we would be lights in this dark world. God has certainly done His part of protecting His Word all this time since it was written. I think it's an awesome thing that I'm not real grounded in history, but I've read things about how, you know, with the book burnings and, you know, certainly the time of the Jewish Holocaust and World War II and other times, and how they've tried to stifle it and burn people at the stake, Tyndale, They were faithful men. Faithful men to write the word there. The idea of preserving the word. A painstaking process at times. A life-threatening process even for those who wanted to do it so perfectly and would throw it out if there was one little mistake in it, they'd start over again. And to think about it, the word has gotten a lot easier for me. Just, you know, I was never been a reader. You know, a couple of books I read throughout, you know, school and stuff, and they really had to really catch my interest for me to be able to read it. But I'm blessed also by that since being saved. The Lord's helped me a lot with reading and being able to absorb things. And the word, I mean, what more is there to enjoy but just, you know, seeing the goodness of God through his word? And it can really, really, really bless your heart, heal your heart, take away all the garbage that might be coming down against you at any given time. I think all of us, at least at one time or another, have been at these very troublesome spots. And the best place to turn is probably the Word of God. You know, one-on-one with the Lord, but open up the Word. Open up the Word. And, if you don't know specifically where you want to go or something, you're not even sure, I bet you just by opening it up, he's going to take it as something that's going to minister to you right then and there. I almost guarantee that. He guarantees it. Testimonies, the word means witness. Are you a witness for him? You're a testimony unto what God has done for you in your life. That's why there's an importance of how we walk. All this, these scriptures, it all just flows together in what we portray in this world. We are witnesses, our testimony of what God has done. It's an affirmation. It's a permanence. It's a fact of ownership, in a sense. A contract, so to speak, between you and God. A covenant with God. When you're saved, you're sealed. It's a signed contract. Can't be broken by anybody or anything. He holds you in your hand, graven upon his hand. I love that song. That's one thing I love about worship. There's so many songs, and scripturally songs, and just on how they really minister to myself, and I know they do to Joyce, and they can take you to that place of brokenness. Back to that when I started out, and, you know, if you prayed for brokenness, are there areas in your life you know you need to be broken of? That's what draws us closer, is allowing God to soften your heart that much more. Aiming for that undefiled whole heart to the Lord. And the whole heart, the word, this particular Hebrew word is based, it's widely used for feelings, the will, and the intellect. Or for the center of something or anything. That's another song, worship song. Jesus be the center. Mm-hmm. You know? Jesus be my heart. You know? Be the center of my heart. Be my heart. Take my heart. Take my heart, my life, and let it be yours. Desiring an undivided heart. Finding the excellencies of God's word. Father, we're thankful this morning, Lord, just for the work of your spirit. I pray for each guy here, my brothers, Lord. You strengthen them, Lord. You encourage them in your word. Lord, help us all, Lord, to set aside the ways of the world, Lord, that we'd walk in your ways, Lord. Lord, as we may pray in our hearts, Lord, I'm praying now, Lord, just myself, Lord, just want to seek you, Lord, want to study you, study your word, Lord. Lord, that we'd be able to, when we pray, give you our whole heart, Lord. That we would worship you with our whole heart, Lord. These are areas that we know, Lord, that our heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it, Lord? You know it, Lord. And that's why we need you so much. We need you so much, Lord. Lord, as in Ezra it said, studied your word, Lord, to be able to teach the statutes, the precepts, Lord. Lord, in a sense, we're all called to be teachers, Lord, not necessarily from the pulpit, Lord, but in the world, Lord, that the very way we walk would amplify you, exemplify you, glorify you, Lord. Lord, touch people's hearts to want to know, Lord. And may we be ready to give an answer, Lord, even through just our actions, Lord, reaching out to help, to provide, to pray for, Lord. We just cry out, help us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are in control, that you are our hope, you are our great reward. These wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things, Lord, that you are. Thank you for this time. Again, just bless these guys for giving their time to be able to come out, Lord, wanting and desiring more of you with an undefiled heart, Lord. We need you to even come close to attaining that, Lord. Because of Jesus, God, you see it already fulfilled. We wait for that day patiently but excitedly, Lord. In Jesus' name.